As many of you know, I didn't get saved until I was in my 20s. So, having grown up walking hand in hand with the world, I know a thing or two about what worldliness looks like. And I realize the importance of Christians and Christianity to separate from worldliness. That's one thing that really drew me to Shepherd's Fold Baptist Church when we moved here. It was the fact that this church does not try to look like the world. This church does not try to sound like the world. This church does not try to be like the world. In fact, this church tries to not be like the world. And I appreciate that. I have to admit that after I got saved, I spent my first few years trying. I still had that taste for the world. I still kept trying to live a form of Christianity that still held on to those things of the world, but yet still came to church and heard good Bible preaching. My first few years I spent trying to hold on to that culture in which I grew up, because I wasn't ready to give up those practices unless I had a good Bible mandate that told me I had to. I think to myself, okay, God, I come to places and I hear what people have, I hear their standards, and if you want to tell me that social drinking is bad, then show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not drink alcohol. Because that was the thinking of a person that came out of that culture. Of, you know what, if I have to give this up, I want a really good reason why. Instead of looking at the whole weight of the scripture, seeing the worldliness, seeing the evil that alcohol causes, and God's warning against drinking, instead I would read a verse and I'd say, you know, here it says don't give in to much wine. Well, that must mean that a little bit's okay then, right? I mean, I don't ever drink a lot. That was a struggle that I went through for a while. Now, thankfully, the Lord got a hold of my heart. And I'll admit that I was a fool back then. Sounds pretty foolish to look back at it now and say, man, why did I hold on to some of those things? Why did I sit there and try and say, God, you have to really convince me about this. I don't just want this feeling. I don't just want my conscience telling me. I want you to show me in black and white. But that's what God kind wisdom does. Looking back on it, I look at how foolish I was then. And when we get God-kind wisdom, we see that the wisdom of the world is foolishness. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But as I grew in my faith, God helped me to see that the practices of the world that I was trying so hard to hold on to were holding me back from being the person that God wanted me to be. One by one, day by day, and decision by decision, my choices started to change. The things I watched, the things I read, the things I listened to, all started to change over time. The things I did for entertainment changed, because God was changing me for the better. Now, I have a whole different perspective on things. And having grown up in a worldly culture, exposed to lots of worldly practices, I look back at it and it kind of stuns me how there are lots of professing Christians who still hold on to practices that, to me, appear patently worldly, appear patently sinful. With that in mind, I wanted to share with you a sermon on a holiday that is coming up that I consider to be a worldly occult holiday known in America as Halloween. Americans spend more money on Halloween than any other non-gift-giving holiday. Every year it's said that Americans spend $7 to $8 billion on Halloween, which is more than some country's total gross domestic product for the year. And we spend that on this thing that they call a holiday. Well, regardless of what your stance on Halloween or trick-or-treating is tonight, my prayer is that you'll listen with an openness of your mind and let the scriptures guide you to whatever God has to lay on your heart tonight. With that in mind, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11 of Ephesians chapter 5. If you'd like to stand with me as I read, you're welcome to do so. If you'd like to remain seated, please feel comfortable to do so as well. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we can all just come to your word and let it guide us tonight and every day, Lord, not just in this topic, but in every topic, in every area of life. And I just pray, Father, if there's anything that you would have to speak to us about, that we would be willing to listen and be willing to obey. Because, Lord, it's so much easier when we obey right away rather than trying to hold on to the things that hold us back. And we just pray, Lord, that each and every person would receive exactly what you'd have for them to take home with them tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought it was kind of interesting. So after the church service this morning, my wife and I had a number of young ladies over to our house for a meal. I know it's not the same group that is here tonight with us, but the topic for Halloween came up. And one of them asked us what we were doing for Halloween, and then at the end of her sentence, she stopped and paused and goes, "Wait a second, you're Christians, do you celebrate Halloween?" And so it actually gave us a little bit of a good time to talk to some of them about this. Having grown up in a family that participated in Halloween, I experienced many different traditions and customs associated with the holiday. As a kid, I went and got dressed up in costumes and went trick-or-treating. As I got older, I toured haunted houses and watched horror movies. And when I went to college, I went to costume parties that the college would put on. Through all those experiences, I have this to say. I look back at that, and I don't remember a single one of them that ever brought me closer to God. Now, I also should make the disclaimer that I wasn't saved back then. But looking back on it, I don't see God being honored or me being drawn closer to him, or really remember anything scriptural coming from any of that. So looking back at all those Halloween traditions that I participated in, I don't see how any of them was helping me learn about God. And that's a problem, isn't it? I mean, it should be. If we're doing things in this life, if we're doing stuff in this life, shouldn't there be some spiritual aspect attached to it? Shouldn't we be able to find some redeeming quality where God is honored? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And I can't think of a single thing that I did to celebrate Halloween that brought glory to God. Surely if we study this celebration that is labeled a holiday, we'll be able to find some good in it, right? Well, let's take a look. Now, I learned a lot in my study of this, and I do have to make one good recommendation. If you want to know more at the end of this message, Dr. David Brown has some good sermons up on Halloween. He's done numerous studies of the occult, and he's got a couple good sermons up on that, so I highly recommend going and looking that up as well. So I want to look at the history of Halloween. According to the book, American Book of Days, by George William Douglas, many of Halloween's customs are derived from ancient ball festivals. So let's start there. What were these ancient ball festivals? Well, they can be traced back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, if you want to flip over there. In Genesis 11, we see the people talking about going to build the Tower of Babel. It says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." You know, if you want a good reason why God doesn't want this one world government, this one world power, this one world language, it's because it happened once in history. And God did something to put a stop to it, because all these people got together and they were going to build a tower that would reach into heaven, because they thought that would get them their stairway to heaven, because they were confused about God. People were building this tower to reach into heaven. At the Tower of Babel, there were all sorts of idolatrous, ungodly practices people would participate in, like fortune-telling, magic, contacting spirits, etc. Because humans had drifted away from God and created a worldly and satanic practices of worship, including witchcraft, sorcery, and even human sacrifices. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. This particular verse right there is talking about human sacrifices, burning children or humans alive. That's why it's talked about, maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Or that useth divination, which is fortune telling. Or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. I have a hard time saying that word. But basically, this is a lot of that magic and witchcraft, and sounds a lot like what we see in Halloween. And then come to verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Halloween is a modern holiday that was born out of occult idolatry. Many of the traditions and decorations that we see in Halloween are related to satanic worship or witchcraft. It is recorded that the day that we call Halloween started as a pagan, idolatrous holiday called Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N or H-E-I-N, depending on what I looked up. But Samhain was this holiday created by the Celtic people of Ireland some 2,000 years ago. The Celts celebrated Samhain on October 31st, and it was celebrated to be the day of death. You think you're celebrating death. Well, at that time, it was a time of fall. So as the leaves changed, what they believed was happening was that the sun god was losing his power, and he was losing the fight against the god of death, who was causing the leaves to change and the leaves to fall and things like that. Well, they believed that on October 31st, the god of death would release all the souls of the people who had died that previous year to go out into the world. They would go out and visit their families. They would go out and wreak havoc on people. This is where some of the Spanish countries celebrate Dia de los Muertos, which is to say the Day of the Dead. And according to that book, American Book of Days, other Halloween customs originate from the taking of omens from the struggle of victims in the fire of Druidic saints. Druids were the Celtic occult priests, and they would have these fires where they would gather a bunch of crops, sometimes animals, and sometimes even humans, and put them into a big, large fire that they would call a bonfire, which is where we get the word bonfire from. As they would have this bonfire, this bone fire, the druids would dance around it, chanting incantations, and they were typically wearing costumes derived from animals. So they would take animal heads, animal skins, and wear them as they danced around this fire, and people were burned alive. Jeremiah 19, verse 5 and 6 says, they have built also high places of Baal to burn their sons with the fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. I don't care what culture out there has any sort of history. Never anywhere in the Word of God do I see it that God has told us that we should burn humans. Never do I see anywhere in the Word of God where God says it's okay to murder another human being. Never anywhere do I see where God says that he wants us to go out and sacrifice people. Now, Abraham and Isaac is a story of great faith where God said, this is what I want you to do, but God never let Abraham do it. He wanted to test Abraham's faithfulness. The Celts and Druids would use this ritual as a way to talk to the dead and to be able to tell fortunes for themselves and others. And the idea of dressing up for Halloween comes from when they would dress up in their costumes. Now, I want to stop here, because I know there are people out there that would say, well, but do you really think that little children have any idea of any of this stuff, of any of this history, when they just want to dress up as a princess or a superhero for Halloween? No, I don't think that kids have any idea of where Halloween comes from and where it originated. But that doesn't make it right for us to participate and to put our kids in that situation. It doesn't take a spiritual giant to drive around the town or to go through a department store to see what Halloween is all about. My wife and I were at Menards last year about this time, and we see these people carrying out, purchasing about a 6-foot-tall figure that looked like an undead human being. It looked like something that you would have gone to the grave, got up, and propped this thing up. It was disgusting. It was disturbing. I look at that and I say, who wants to put that in their house? And where do you store that during the year? It was just disgusting. And just the other week, I was driving around, and there's people in our neighborhood who have tombstones that they put up in their yard to make it look like a cemetery. And probably the one that really got me to writing this sermon was, I was driving around, and I saw this tree had things hanging from it. And I looked, and here was a child's doll hung from a tree with a noose around its neck. I have little children. That really, really stung me. And I said, who thinks of this as a way to celebrate? Who thinks that that's okay to put out in their front yard? I remember when I was a little kid, my parents would take us trick-or-treating. And there were some people that not only thought it right to put out all these decorations, but they actually went out to try to scare little kids. We had a neighbor one year that went outside of his home and dressed up like a scarecrow and sat on a bench. And his wife or his kids would come out and say, oh, we want to take a picture of all the trick-or-treaters. Go sit by the scarecrow. And as the little kids buddied up next to this, what they thought was a decoration, the man would all of a sudden reach and grab them, and the little kids would go away screaming and crying. He thought it was funny. I thought he was a jerk. Who does that? Who finds that fun to scare the daylights out of little children? It's kind of like the idea of horror movies and haunted houses that people come up with. Now, I'll admit that I like a good thrill every now and then, but that's what I go to the amusement park for. I want you to stop and think about something. For every death scene that is created in a haunted house, and for every murder scene in a scary movie, there are people who sit around and think this stuff up, that spend their days putting their mind through these rigors and trying to figure out how they can make a living off coming up with the scariest, most disturbing ways for people to die, how to get the most suspense out of a murder scene, or how to make a body dismemberment look uncharacteristically real. Now, I want to take one more thing into account. Let's remember that the God of the Bible knows and sees everything. That when there are people out there that sit around and think up death scenes in horror movies or haunted house scenes and how to make them look real and how to give people the creeps and how to do all this bad stuff, that God sees their thoughts. That God knows what's going through their minds. For every mass murderer out there, there's probably 20 people who are writing movies and scripts and things about horror movies that are constantly thinking about this sort of stuff. And God knows their hearts, and he knows what they're thinking about. God is holy and completely righteous, yet he has to see that. And then some Christians look at it and go, well, what's the big deal about me going and watching a scary movie? I know it's not real. Yeah, but you're supporting the industry where a man is sitting there coming up with that stuff. Or a woman, I guess, I don't know. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked things before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Maybe there are some of you here tonight who think you can separate the evil and wickedness associated with Halloween from little kids getting dressed up and going around getting candy. Well, let's take a look at the idea of trick-or-treating and see where that came from. Much like the pagan Celtic holiday of Samhain would go on to become what we call Halloween, trick-or-treating has its beginnings in that Samhain holiday of the ancient Celtic people. On October 31st, the day called Samhain's, where the Druids would have their bonfires and dress up in animal skins and go around the fire chanting things to evil spirits as people burned in the flames, based on those same beliefs of the god of death and the spirits coming back to earth, the Celtic people would dress up as animals that night because they believed that would keep the evil spirits that the god of death released from inhabiting them or coming to visit their house. Those who didn't dress up could appease these evil spirits by offering them a sacrifice or a gift. And around that same time, it became a tradition for the Irish farmers to go from house to house begging for food that they could give to appease the gods. Those who donated would be granted good luck, but those who didn't donate would be threatened with evil retribution. So no, trick-or-treating isn't just something that Americans invented for Halloween to make it more kid-friendly. It has its basis in the same paganism and occult practices just like the rest of Halloween. Now, I could go on and on with examples of how Halloween is connected to things like witchcraft and Satan worship and paganism and idolatry, but I want to be clear about the point. All that we're talking about here, all the witchcraft and all this evil stuff, is all an abomination to God. Deuteronomy 32, chapter or verse 16 and 17 says, "They provoked him," meaning God, "to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not." The occult culture that we see in Halloween with witches and magic, sorcery and voodoo, all that stemming from worshiping new gods who people believe can give them power. And the Bible says that any god, lowercase g, that is not the one true God of the Bible is not a god at all, but an antichrist. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." If you need a verse to share with somebody why it is that you don't celebrate Halloween with its origins in occult paganism and idolatry, there you have it. We had that discussion with the girls that came over for lunch today, and one of them said, "Well, should I celebrate Halloween or not?" And we said, "That has to be your choice." "Well, no, I just want you to tell me." And we said, "Well, that has to be your choice." And one of them says, "Well, isn't it the devil's holiday?" Well, some people call it that. And so it's one of those, if you need something where someone asks you, "Well, why don't you celebrate Halloween?" Well, because the Bible says that you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Is it sinful to celebrate Halloween like the world does? I believe it is, based on what I've learned of Halloween and based on what I know of God. Halloween is based on evil and darkness, and my Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We can't have fellowship with the world and walk hand in hand with God. And then 1 Corinthians 10:23. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Can a person choose to participate in Halloween or take their kids to trick-or-treating? Yes. But you can do lots of things that go against God's character. Choosing to do something that you know is against God's character and God's will is sin. James 3:15 says, "The wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." I think that this verse sums up Halloween fairly succinctly in those three words: earthly, sensual, devilish. Like I said at the beginning, I didn't get saved until I was in my 20s. I participated in Halloween for a number of years. As a kid, I'd get dressed up and go trick-or-treating. I remember being scared of all the decorations. I remember being scared and spooked out of all the creepy stuff that was around Halloween and all the scary costumes and stuff. But when I was a kid, you dealt with that because it meant you got to get dressed up like your favorite, you know, cartoon character or superhero, and you got to go around and get a bunch of candy. I also remember being a teenager. Now, teenagers don't really do trick-or-treating, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily take Halloween off. Now, I have to say that thankfully my parents raised me in a good home, and I didn't participate in some of the things that other teenagers did. But I remember lots of teenagers saw Halloween as a night to go out, commit vandalism, destroy property, and do all sorts of bad stuff because they could hide in the shadows, they could hide behind a mask or a costume that they were wearing. In the town I grew up in, if you had a pumpkin out for a decoration, there were years, well, for many years we didn't do pumpkins because it wouldn't make it after Halloween because a bunch of teenagers would go around and just smash people's pumpkins, and so they would have pumpkins all over the street, on your front porch, whatever it would be. Well, when I went to college, where I was exposed to the fact that there really are some people out there that practice witchcraft, there are really people out there that worship the devil and have seances and do these abominable things before God. I also remember in college, it's where I found out that Halloween can be considered a sensual thing. I remember working the front desk of our residence hall, and they had a Halloween dance or a costume dance one night. And I tell you what I saw the boys and girls walking out of that building with, it would make men and women in this building blush to have to look at what those costumes were. It was incredibly worldly, incredibly sensual. Like I said at the beginning, as a person who grew up in Halloween before I got saved, you don't have to tell me that Halloween is worldly and sinful. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, I know there are some people out there who feel like I'm going to be a mean parent. I'm going to be one of those mean parents that doesn't let my kids participate in Halloween. And they say, you know, I don't want my kids, I don't want my grandkids to have to miss out on making childhood memories. To that I would say, overcome evil with good. You don't have to take Halloween and keep your kids locked in their rooms that night. My wife and I talked about how we can make Halloween a family game night and have it a time where we get to spend time with our kids and show them how special they are. Maybe take them to the store ahead of time and have them pick out their favorite candy. What we like to do is we get a bag of candy, and when the kids come around, we hand out Bible tracts with the candy so that we can go out and give God's word out to these little kids who are practicing this pagan holiday. Kind of like reverse canvassing, if you will. Instead of going out and going door to door to everybody, the kids just come to your house and you can give them a Bible verse. Tell them why you don't celebrate, why you don't have decorations up. And I also want to say this. Kids are really smart. If you talk to your kids and explain to them what the Bible says and why you have the principles that you do, why you participate in things that you do and things that you don't, kids will understand. I think we don't give kids enough credit for how smart they really are in understanding things. I remember a story from Travis and Johan Johnson, who used to be members of our church, and they took their kids to, I don't know if it was Disney World or Disneyland, I don't really remember, but anyway, they took their kids, and they had a wonderful day riding the ride, seeing the characters, they really enjoyed themselves. And at the end of the night, they had this big kind of light show production thing, and they showed these pictures of all these different Disney characters, and they get to a point in that show where they start focusing on some of the villains of Disney movies. And they show a sorcerer, and they show an evil witch, and they show someone else that's this mean, evil person. And Avery looked up to his dad and said, "Dad, I don't think God likes this." Travis says, "You know how convicted I felt right then?" He said, "No, buddy, you're right. I don't think God likes this. Let's go home." And so we had a good talk with him. Kids are smart. Kids get it. Kids see it. And you know what? When you have those kind of conversations with kids, they'll understand. They know what God likes and doesn't like. It's not that it's beyond them. Children can teach us so much. And when we talk to them about our Bible reasons for what we do and don't do, that gives them foundations to build that truth off of. My goal in writing the sermon wasn't to sit up here and to condemn all the people who celebrate Halloween. If you allow your kids or grandkids to get dressed up and go trick-or-treating, that's something that your family has decided to do. But my prayer is that you'll take what you heard tonight and you'll consider what the scripture says and you'll give prayer to it. You'll give it over to God and you'll consider prayerfully what you've learned tonight. Search the scriptures. Allow God to lead you. I don't want anyone coming out of here tonight saying, well, we don't celebrate Halloween because the associate pastor gave a sermon and he said this. What I want to give you is scripture to be able to say, if I don't celebrate Halloween, I can say, I don't celebrate Halloween because the Bible says this, because the Word of God says this. And you can share that with other people so they have a foundation to start building off of. My goal is to give you that information, to give you the background on Halloween, and compare it to what the scriptures say and allow you to make that choice. And I hope you'll consider what you heard tonight in making any decisions, and not just about Halloween. It goes for everything. If there's something in your life that you're not sure if it's God's will, look it up, do your research on it, compare it to what the scripture says. God will always lead you. You just have to be willing to let him.